All right, you are listening to the podcast Until the Cows Come Home, and this is our very, very first podcast that we've ever recorded. I'm Katie Stutzman, and I'm here with my husband, Trent Stutzman.
Hello.
So this first podcast, we're just going to go over our story and how we met, and I really want to focus it on Trent and kind of his perspective on things, because I think it's always interesting to get a more male's perspective on entering into a relationship, entering into a marriage, and what that looks like. So before we dive into that, I just want to give you guys a background of how we met. It's a little unusual, but I feel like it's not so unusual, at least not these days, you know. So we met online. It was actually a Facebook message. But go back a few steps, and it was actually eHarmony. So years late ago, I guess, I had created an eHarmony profile and kind of forgot about it, or I did forget about it. And then years later, Trent decides he wants to create an eHarmony profile, and he comes across mine. I don't think, we weren't really a connection or a match. We were...
Well, you have matches and fringe matches.
Fringe?
Fringe matches, yes. Oh. And you are a fringe match.
Okay, well, this fringe match worked out. Anywho, so he gets on my profile, and I don't know why I said this, because I feel like this was an open invitation to all creepers, but I landed the best creeper in the world, okay, so it worked out.
That's my title.
I said, I'm not going to pay for this. If you're interested, find me on Facebook. So Trent does find me on Facebook. So long story short, I accept his friend request. We get to talking. We FaceTime. I go visit this random guy in Kansas. So let's see. We started talking in February. I went and visited you in, was it April? April. And then we got engaged in August, and then we got married in December. So what? How many months is that?
From the first time we talked, about 10 months.
Yeah. So from, hi, I know this is creepy, but I'd love to get to know you more, to I do, 10 months. Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so Trent, so that's just our little snippet of history. Take me back to your headspace and what made you decide to start or create an eHarmony profile.
Well, I think I was 25 and living in a small town, and I kind of knew everybody, and I knew I wanted to get married at some point and figured it was going to take a while. And so I thought I'd give it a whirl and create an account, and I think they were running a deal or something, and I'm cheap, so signed up for a couple months and just figured I'd see what it's all about. And I figured people on eHarmony were at least halfway serious about relationships, and so I kind of was drawn to that. And I started local, like within the state of Kansas, because that's where I was living at the time. And then I did it probably 500 miles out. And still not a whole lot going on. And then I was like, screw it, I'm doing the whole U.S. And then about a week later, Katie Reynoso popped up. And the rest is history.
Yeah. You had to pull a few weeds before you came across this little flower. Yeah.
That's one way to put it. But yeah, I mean, I was getting kind of tired of the whole process of talking to people on eHarmony. And so... when you said find me on Facebook, I was like, challenge accepted. So
yeah, and he did. He went to like the extent of like even like searching my photos or
You had some professionally done, and so
yeah,
I Google image searched them and found your Facebook.
Yeah, because I bet when I made the profile on eHarmony, it said I was living in Oregon, and I was actually living in California. Mm-hmm. So I made it real difficult for you.
I feel like I sound creepier and creepier every time I tell the story.
Uh-huh. But hey, it worked out.
I found you.
Yeah. So would you recommend using a dating site? Why or why not? Like, I feel like there's still a little bit of stigma on, I mean, not so much these days, but.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of just depends where you're at. I think I was just in a spot where, I mean, I was living in a small town. I wasn't meeting a whole lot of new people. And so that's why I did it. I think if you live in a bigger town and consistently find ways to meet new people, then it's probably not that big of a deal. But I mean, I feel like everybody's on Bumble or whatever the kids are doing these days. Mm-hmm. And even if they're 2 miles apart, they find out they're 2 miles apart from these apps, which is fine.
I think it makes connections, which I think is always a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what isn't a good thing is you kind of can perceive yourself to be this certain way. And I don't know. Then you feel like you have to live up to your... I don't know. Yeah. Like, there's different pros and cons to it, definitely.
It's like a relationship buffet.
Yes. Yeah. And I believe you can become more pickier when you have... a buffet of, mm-hmm. you know, where you can just swipe through and say yay or nay.
For sure.
So what felt different with me? Like, I know, I mean, you've had some, you know, long relationships before. You've talked to girls. Mm-hmm. And I'm not your average cat. So what was the...
You are the black sheep.
The black sheep.
You're just different.
Okay.
What made you stand out?
I think what was felt just, different with me.
All we could do was talk, and so we did a lot of that, and we would just talk about things that are important to us, and time after time, I mean, I feel like we would be texting or talking on the phone and being like, you two, like, that's mm-hmm. crazy, and we just had so much in common in our likes and dislikes and how we view the world and kind of what we want out of life. And
mm-hmm.
So I think the most important things lined up, and that was something I was really looking for. And I think that was refreshing. And you were a fox, so wasn't that hard.
I was gonna say, I felt like during our time, our long distance relationship, first of all, I had, like, nothing to lose with you. So we both were kind of laying it all out. Like, it wasn't, right. We were going out on these dates, and I had the nerves. And, of course, I get nervous maybe FaceTiming you or something. But we just laid it all out. And mm-hmm. we were at a point where we knew who we were, mm-hmm. you know, as much as you can know who you are and stuff. Which I'm really thankful for that because, yeah, we got to just... you know, be open. And then when we got together, you knew exactly who I was, and I wasn't portraying some version of me. It was who right. I was in that moment. Okay. So how did the Lord lead you to this marriage? Do you think he did?
Yeah, I think after we met for the first time until we got married, I just kind of felt this invitation, and not at all that God was telling me. I didn't ever feel like he was like, you have to marry Katie. I just felt like there was an invitation to just get to know you better, and that I kept feeling it, and it wouldn't go away. Mm-hmm. And it was just like I was being invited to a really just fulfilling life if it worked out between us. And that was just kind of, I just couldn't get that out of my head because you were different than other girls I had dated. And I just kept feeling God just say, like, this would be a really good thing if you want it. And just kind of this gift. And so, yeah.
Yeah, that's good because I remember the first time we actually met in person, we both thought, this probably isn't going to work out. Right?
For sure. For the first, yeah. So you were there in Kansas for 4.5 or 5 days. And I remember after you had been there for about 3 hours, I was living with a couple of my friends, and you went to the restroom or something. And I walked out and talked to John and Marcus. And
your roommates at the time.
My roommates at the time, and I said, I don't think this is going to work, guys.
Oh my gosh.
And they each said, like, Trent, don't pull a Trent. And
I didn't know that.
I had to sit back a little bit and get to know you better. And mm-hmm. But still, even after 4 or 5 days, we kind of figured that would be the last time we saw each other. And then when I took you to the airport, I just started crying and then couldn't stop. And then...
Yeah, let's talk about this.
Well, I mean, you know the story. And I dropped you off. I was crying. And then I went back home and was crying. And then I was like, well, maybe there's more to this. Even though she's different than other girls I've dated, if I have this reaction, then maybe we should see each other again. So.
Right. Yeah, that's good. And do you think that was like a spiritual thing? Like, or definitely the Lord kind of tugging at your heart, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely could have been. I don't want to over spiritualize it, but yeah, I mean, that could have just not being able to shake just kind of mm-hmm. the genuinely good time we had.
Yeah.
And just kind of feeling that invitation. I think that was probably from him.
Yeah. So how did you navigate long distance? Because you're living in Kansas, I'm living in California.
Mm-hmm. I mean, long distance is always hard, but I feel like it's almost good for me, just because I process things internally and need space. And so that gave me plenty of days to do that. And I mean, we could talk on the phone for an hour or two or whatever, and then I would have the rest of the day to process it if I needed to, or, you know, multiple days. And and I think that was really good for me. And so mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, that's probably why we only dated for 10 months, but just because of the long distance. And but
yeah and you say that now, and I didn't know how much you process things internally until we actually got married.
Mm-hmm.
And then mm-hmm. that's when the, like, what, you don't always want to be around me, you know? So that's another thing. That's year one.
Yeah,
right now we focus on the dating. But so yeah, that's good that you, I mean, had that time and stuff to really, and that makes sense now, because when you came out to meet my family, when I was taking you back to the airport, like, you were like, we could get married this time and this time or this day. And mm-hmm. So
I'm just,
I could
talking
see
out loud,
I know,
though,
I know, but it felt like a cheap proposal. But
you said, you aren't gonna ask me, are you? And
yeah, like,
said,
this isn't how not. You're asking me. But it was just interesting that that's how. And I'm definitely more of a verbal, I think, processor.
Yes, you talk out things, and I think through things.
Yeah, definitely. So, okay, so what advice would you give single guys, and even engaged guys?
Well, enjoy it, mm-hmm. because, I mean, once you get married, hopefully you're married for the rest of your life.
It's a different type of enjoyment, right?
Once, well, yeah, I mean, I'm obviously
and yeah,
very
singleness
happily married.
Isn't like a thing to be cured by any means.
No, I mean, you'll never have more, I guess, free time is a way to put it. But yeah, I mean, there's just benefits to that season. And so, yeah, just enjoy it and embrace it, and don't always just think, okay, when I get married, then my life will start. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
start it right now.
Yeah.
Go travel.
And that's how you meet people, is when you
yeah.
are doing the things that you love, and then you find the people that...
Right, exactly.
Unless it's from a eHarmony.
Just, for, yeah, find the things you like to do and do that, and maybe you'll meet somebody doing that, but... or jump on eHarmony or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, don't be afraid to pursue people either, if that's, you know, what you're
mm-hmm.
looking for. I want to go back just a couple steps to the long distance. One thing that I was intentional about doing, and it was hard for me, but I always made sure, And this was a little thing that I didn't realize how big it was, but I always made sure Trent texted me first. I was never the one to first text him.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think it was one or two times in the entire 10 months that we dated that you texted me first.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of bothered me, but it also...
It bothered you that I didn't text you at all?
Kind of, but I'm glad you didn't, because it always... I don't know. I mean, maybe it's outdated, but I think guys kind of like to chase. And if you would have been blowing up my phone all the time, I would have been like, all right, we'll just let you live your life in California. I don't think this is going
to
work out.
Yeah, exactly. No, yeah. I think there definitely is something to be said for the guy pursuing the woman, you know?
Like, right.
And that's just a small, like, I want to say that because... In long distance, that's kind of hard to see or hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, you know, at least little things that you can pick up on and do. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, but definitely wasn't easy for me.
But also, I mean, I think sometimes guys just need, like, maybe before you even have started dating, maybe if the girl kind of initiates something just to, like, kickstart the guy and then kind of back off after that.
Yeah.
I think that's a good call too.
Yeah, that's true. To kind of like say the door's open, you can mm-hmm. walk in.
Sometimes we're pretty dense.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so do you think not liking the girlfriend's family should be a deal breaker?
Not necessarily a deal breaker, but my first thought is, if you get married, where are you going to live? Because if you're going to live close to a family, that could be a potentially really long life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I mean, when I met your family, that definitely helped me want to marry you more. Just because I think you do marry the family in a way. And, I mean, you had kind of said you would like to be close to your family. And so if I was going to marry you, then I figured I would move closer than Kansas for sure.
Yeah.
And so it was a big deal for me to like your family. And I mean, it just helps, you know, everyday life.
Right.
And now that we have a little girl on the way, I mean, wanting your family to be close is a big deal. And I mean, I can't imagine if we didn't have a good relationship and I'm trying to avoid them, and that just, it just could make for a really tiresome life.
Yeah. More hurdles and stuff.
Yeah.
So what do you think really prepared you the most for marriage?
Good question.
We kept always saying, like, you'll never be ready, but I think I'm right. You know, like, we would always throw that
out.
Right.
Like, I mean, yeah, if you've never been married before, then obviously you don't know exactly what you're getting into. But I don't know. I think the book, The Meaning of Marriage by Tim Keller, really helped. I think just talking to married friends and,
mm-hmm.
and just, I mean, growing up consciously thinking about, like, my mom and dad's relationship and what I liked and if there's anything I would do differently. And
yeah, because that does play a huge part in, like, you don't realize it, but you reflect whatever, you know, marriage that you saw growing up.
And, right, for sure. And, or at least that's your tendency, probably.
Yeah, tendency, yeah.
But yeah, I think, yeah, like I said, Meaning of Marriage by Tim Keller was a really good book, and
yeah,
I would recommend that. Is, and there's a bunch of good books, but
mm-hmm.
and also we did a little bit of
pre-marriage
counseling with Donald Miller's online stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if it's still there, but it was really helpful. It was easy to do, because especially we were long distance, we could
mm-hmm.
just watch a video at the same time and then go over the questions. And it wasn't, I mean, it did cover, like, a few basics, but it was mostly things that we don't think about. Like,
mm-hmm.
how did your family handle conflict? You know, things,
right.
you know, just kind of bring up some good thought-provoking things. So do you think that there's something people overlook when looking for a spouse, or something that seems small but turns into something bigger later?
I think the biggest, or one of the biggest things that I think when you're dating or engaged, it's easy to just be like, oh, we'll figure it out, is finances. I think that's an easy thing to overlook because it's not a whole lot of fun to talk about.
It's not
And
romantic at all.
yeah, and just saying, oh yeah, I'm responsible and you're responsible and we'll be fine. I mean, that's good. That's a good start, but how you spend your money is definitely going to impact your day-to-day relationship. And just kind of what you want your life to look like. And
Right, and your goals, I mean,
right. Yeah. What do you want to
financial
do
goals, yeah.
exactly?
One thing for me, I feel like I didn't realize how much of a blessing this is until maybe I talked to other people, but is like we have the same taste buds, and I feel like we have the same outlook on food. Like we both love to eat healthy. That was one thing we really bonded over. We could talk about nutrition and all that for hours until the cows come
We
home.
both love dessert.
Yeah, but we both have a big sweet tooth, so we're not ashamed of that. Anyways, it just makes it's a small thing, and I think it is something that you could overlook, but I mean, you have to eat every day, like
Yeah,
so.
you do eat a lot of meals together when you're married, so.
Yeah. Okay, today, am I the same person you married?
I mean, yes, in a lot of ways. And I think we've both changed somewhat, but
Yeah.
I think definitely to your core, you're still the same. And, but yeah, it's been 3.5 years. So, I mean, I know people change in small ways. And,
Right.
but yeah, I would say you're the same
Yeah, and
person.
I would
Yeah.
say, like, for you too, I think we both have blossomed and we both have met each other in a like halfway point. Like, you have kind of adapted to my ways, I've adapted to your ways, or I just know how you're gonna navigate something, you know, and you know how I'm gonna navigate something, and so we can kind of
Right. And
know that.
people close to us that aren't us might be able to answer that question even better.
Yep, that's
But
true.
we might be too close to
Yeah,
know.
yep, we're in the thick of it. Okay, so wrapping it up, last question I have for you. Well, kind of. But what activity, or experience or event that we did together where you learned the most about me? Like, what is something that,
Traveling, I mean,
yeah,
traveling
I
with
guess traveling
you,
is
I
very
think
good,
we
yeah.
learn a lot about each other and just how we handle maybe a stressful situation or, I mean, when we travel together, we're obviously together all the time, and I think we've learned that I do better when I have a little space or can just disconnect from the world for a couple hours and
Yeah.
yeah.
Like the honeymoon.
Like our honeymoon. Yep.
When he didn't want to be with me 24/7.
Okay, it was like day
Yeah.
three,
Yeah,
so
exactly. Day three. And
I
you were.
know. So that's like 48 hours with the same
Okay.
person, so I needed a break.
All right, another
All my
time.
introverts know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I guess so. So yeah, I would say traveling too. And I really think any sort of conflict, and not that you should seek out conflict, but I think if you do any kind of adventure, conflict, or something with someone, you bond and you learn way more about them and how they handle things. And so yeah, I think traveling is just a good example of that. Well, we could talk about this until the cows come home. And I'm calling it this because actually one time during our dating season, I was rambling on about something, and Trent was like, "Well, we could talk about this until the cows come home." And I don't know anything about these cows. Like, do they come home? I don't know. Where are they? How
No,
many are there?
they don't come
Yeah, they don't come
home.
home, I guess so. So, okay, just really quick, I have a couple questions for you, just for fun. And I don't know if I want to ask you this because I know the answer to it, but who do you like that you're most okay, musician wise? Who is someone that like you like, but you don't always like to, like, you know.
Who do I like?
That I know. Okay. The question is, who's like your guilty pleasure musician right now? Songs that you like, but you're a little ashamed to admit it.
Well, I'm hardly ashamed to admit that Taylor Swift can make good music.
I know, and I don't like that. I don't know why. I don't know why, but. Okay, so what? Also, next question: what was your favorite snack as a kid?
Popcorn, or sometimes Mom, I can't believe she let me do this, but she would let me have a whole can of cherry pie filling.
Oh my gosh.
Just, you know, from the aluminum can or tin cans. And I thought that was real cool.
It's just 100% artificial, nothing. Mm-hmm. Maybe a cherry thrown in there.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah. All right, Trent. Well, thank you for sharing. And we're so happy to have you on here.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right. Tune into the next one. We'll see you later, guys.